Hello, everyone. I'm Mike.
I'm Bash.
And welcome to House of Pod.
It's only Thursday, said Piglet. Fuck, said Pooh.
Oh, man. That's funny. It's week 400 of quarantine.
Yes, I've grown quite a mighty beard.
It has. You have, not it.
I could start dressing as an Amish person and nobody would bat an eye.
I wonder if you can get out of the shelter and in home, in place thing, because you're Amish.
I don't think Amish are considered essential.
But where are we going to get those like amazing furniture from?
Other furniture stores?
I don't know.
Are furniture stores open?
Does furniture exist anymore?
I'm just going to start showing up to hazmat suits and places. Like, let me in.
That works.
Anywho.
Yeah, we don't know what this episode is. There's just everything is falling apart, especially with wrestling. We can get to that later, but
oh my God,
just so many sad falling things.
Falling apart or being let go.
Yeah.
Too soon.
Sorry. Yeah. Well, let's start with some happier news, I suppose. This is interesting. The Mandalorian is going to be coming back to Disney Plus with 8 new episodes of like a documentary about the 8 episodes that are on Disney Plus currently.
Okay.
Which
I'm interested. Curious.
I do want to see that. I'm sure it's really, I love those behind the scenes stuff, but I know when they filmed the Mandalorian on that huge, like sound, it's not even a sound like stage. It's like a giant LED stage. So like all the backgrounds you see are being displayed on the LED and stuff. So like seeing that in action would be really cool.
Yeah, I guess that would be really cool.
But that's supposed to be coming out. Oh my God.
Out will be coming out.
Out will be coming out. Was that Arnold or
a little bit?
Anyway. We started. it's on Star Wars Day, May the 4th. So I don't know if it's all 8 episodes at once or if they're going to do with that bullshit where they just release it every week.
Yeah, like back in the archaic days.
Seriously. They better not do that. Everyone's stuck at home. They'll be like, give it to me now.
Gives us something to look forward to.
Relieve one day, please. Oh, God. Endless suffering.
Mm-hmm. Yes, but it will give us something to look forward to week by week. Kind of like Vin Diesel leaking that we have Alpha Groot to look forward to.
I don't even know what that means.
Nobody does. It's not in the comics.
Alpha Groot. Is it just Groot, but he's being...
I'm assuming it's like we probably saw like a pretty close version to adult Groot in the original Guardians of the Galaxy. Mm-hmm. I think we're going to see something beyond that. So I don't know. Maybe he'll have like huge leaves and be jacked. Just be like, I am Groot, and have like a, you know, solar beam Venusaur kind of thing. But like from his chest, it just opens up, or maybe his mouth opens up. You just see this giant, like, he's beam, like, so, and all his leaves are glowing colors.
He's like so inspired by Iron Man that he like grows into certain parts where he can use solar beams out of his hands and his chest. I just assume it's going to be.
He just grows into Veronica.
I just assume it's going to be Groot, but he's driving muscle cars now. And he's all about family, you know? That's what Alpha Groot.
Mm-hmm.
Alpha Groot's all about family.
Yes.
But he can also do solar beams because that's just entertaining.
That's how you protect your family.
Yeah, exactly. Speaking of the Marvel...
Oh God, wait, imagine... Just for one second, imagine that. Like, the finale of Fast and the Furious 15. You know, the bad guys... You know, it says something like, you thought you'd be a hero? Well, guess what? Now I am Iron Man. And he just goes, I am Groot! And does some Vin Diesel stuff.
Now, I mean, I could see it. Currently, in that franchise, I've seen a car jump from skyscraper to skyscraper and still be alive. I saw The Rock literally throw a torpedo back at a submarine.
Well, that's The Rock.
That's true. He's Black Adam, so...
Yeah.
That makes a lot of sense. So, the literal showdown between Vin Diesel and The Rock would just be Fast and the Furious 28 Alpha Groot versus Black Adam.
I'm okay with this.
Yeah, me too. I'm down with that. Speaking of amazing movies, well, hopefully, reportedly, John Krasinski has been having meetings with Marvel about an unspecified project.
Yes, I heard about that. Fantastic Four confirmed.
Well, no, because I guess he's also been rumored to direct the Young Avengers movie.
That's fine, but Fantastic Four and with Emily Blunt is what we all want.
Well, 100%. Like, obviously, that's what we're looking for. Avengers would be interesting.
I'm still campaigning Zac Efron for Johnny Storm. Vin Diesel for The Thing.
Had to give him dual roles. I am
The Thing.
Who do you think would be a good Thing?
Done this before.
No, I don't think we have.
I'm pretty sure. Clint Eastwood.
Clint Eastwood. I mean, he could voice him. No, mm-hmm. I don't think he'd be able to voice him. They wouldn't let him.
Oh, wait, are we going for actually motion acting? Nah, I wouldn't want to see.
They're definitely going to do motion cap like with the Hulk to just replace it with The Thing. So you'll see like the emotion in his face. So you'll have to get the actor to do it too.
Yeah.
So who do you think? Zac Efron would be a good Johnny Storm. I think he's got enough sass to him.
The Thing
he's is just such a hunk.
Yeah, The Thing is just hard to
see. I also don't think outside of the realm of very big guys, because it is CGI, so you can still have a smaller dude that like they just sort of plaster on your face or plaster on their face. But it would have to be like you could have Stallone do the voice for him.
No, he's already the head of the Ravagers, right. Yeah. Or whatever they are.
Ooh, that's a
Ravagers.
That's a big old issue they're gonna run into is they have so many different famous people just playing these tiny roles. They're gonna start overlapping each other.
That's what the Phase 9 is gonna be.
Now
Phase 9 is just going to be like all the Avengers coming together. You're just going to have one great big long shot of like 3,721 different comic book characters all in a row. And then someone is going to pop up like, this shot cost $44 trillion.
Now, does The Thing have a Brooklyn accent, or is that just the movies we got now that is kind of embedded in my head?
I don't know. I mean, I never read the comics in a Brooklyn accent, so...
Yeah, I guess that's true. I don't know. I'm still trying to brainstorm who that would actually be.
I mean, I assumed he was from Brooklyn. I admittedly don't know very much about the Fantastic Four.
Who do you think would be a good Doctor Doom? Kevin Spacey? Like,
no, oddly.
People would despise him.
Give me a minute. Michael Fassbender.
Ooh, that would be good if they were going to recast him. I would like to see him as Magneto, but that would be really sweet if they did that.
Or there's no way I'm going to remember this guy's name or anything that he's in, unfortunately.
Never mind. Start naming off movies.
Except Blades of Glory.
Blades of Glory?
I don't know. I remember him being a villain and he's ice skating.
Oh, God. Oh, give me a second. Will Arnett?
That name sounds right, actually.
He's the guy who, I think he voiced Lego Batman.
That's kind of funny. I like him even more. Yes, you're right. Okay, yeah, him, oddly. I think it could work.
He's
like oddly menacing.
Oh, well, yeah, he can get that deep end.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like they would definitely, like, they can crack into a lot of like comedians to give, because I mean, look at like what they did to Paul Rudd and Chris Pratt, you know. Yeah. Just give them, put them on a, you know, feed them like pounds and pounds of fish every single day and just make them work out for 6 months.
So that's it, huh? I'm moving to a pond.
That you seen The Rock's diet?
Yeah, that's true. He eats like 90 pounds of cod a day.
It's nothing but cod, chicken, and rice.
Yeah, it's like baked cod, too. So it's like you're not doing this for flavor. It's just protein. I guess you can bake it decently. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, that would be interesting if, I mean...
Yeah, you know, microwave cod, that would be...
God, who microwaves fish? Gross. No, no, no. So, either or, Fantastic Four or Young Justice. Young Justice. Wrong universe.
All right, Young Justice.
I think both would be ideal. That would be nice just to give them both. We'll get the Fantastic Four going. In other Marvel stuff, which is I'm pretty excited about, the What If series is still produced or still in production despite everything being shut down.
Yeah, isn't it an animated event?
Yeah, I feel like they also had a lot of it kind of already done.
I'm okay with that. Again, gives us something to look forward to.
Yeah. There's, I think the only panels of those I can remember were they had the What Ifs where if Peggy Carter was Captain America.
Yeah.
And then, like, Steve Rogers was kind of like an Iron Man type. And then they showed the clips from the Marvel Zombies.
Yeah, Zombie Cap.
Mm-hmm. But I don't know how... I don't know if they're going to do, like, What Ifs, like, the comics and take stuff from there. Or if they're going to be, like, What Ifs from the Marvel Universe. Like, what if... you know, what if... Thor was banished forever. Like he was just never became Thor kind of thing. Or I'm trying to think of like a MCU specific thing that would have happened.
What if Charles Xavier never formed the X-Men?
Well, that would be what's happening right now.
Actually, no, they answered that. Apocalypse takes over because the X-Men never formed to stop him. Up till then, like, I guess
yeah,
they had everything under control.
Yeah, that makes sense. Ooh, I'm excited to see the X-Men, too. I mean, we're not going to get that for a while. Unless they do Submariner.
I think we're going to start getting, like, a couple X-Men here and there, and then, bam, standalone. Wait, no, that makes no sense. Then, bam, X-Men team.
Wasn't Submariner is like, technically a mutant? But is more associated with, like, as kind of like a... Well, no, he was not a villain. The Avengers fought him at one point.
No, he's kind of a villain. Yeah. It's one of those, like, he's trying to protect Atlantis things, so because of that, he's fighting the Avengers.
They're always trying to protect Atlantis.
Yeah. So, yeah, he's been a villain and an ally.
Yeah.
That's one of those best characters.
So, do we have any other non-wrestling related news?
No.
All right.
Well, sort of. I'm sure this is unrelated to anything else, but Linda McMahon's Super PAC group committed to spending $18.5 million in Florida.
See, that's funny. You say you it's not really connected, but I actually... Yeah,
no, it's probably not connected to anything.
I have an arrow pointing from that exact thing, the America's First Action is what the company is called, pointing directly to WWE considered essential business down in the state of Florida.
Oh, but yeah, that was like the next day, so it's totally unrelated.
Yeah, totally unrelated. So yeah, prior to that, I want to backtrack a little bit down the week for just the shitstorm that's been going on. The XFL has filed for bankruptcy, which honestly is...
Chapter 11!
I actually really like what they were doing. I don't know
if... Yeah, it was pretty entertaining.
Yeah, like, I like the, like, random rules that they changed, and it wasn't, like...
I like the kickoff and the end zone rules way better.
That and the...
It makes it more entertaining.
I really enjoyed the conversions, where they had a 1, 2, and 3-point conversion,
yeah,
where you can start at a certain point. And it sucks that it, like, it's...
Yeah, why to call it the end zones?
The end zones. It sucks that because of this, is why it got shut down. Because it was actually pretty entertaining.
Yeah, it was kind of taken off a little bit.
Yeah. I don't know if... I mean, they're filed for bankruptcy, so I doubt once this is all over if they're going to kind of jump back and do stuff like that, but...
Someone can buy the name, though, and continue it.
Yeah, but...
If a billionaire wants to make more billionaires.
Mm-hmm.
Or more billions.
More interestingly enough, when the XFL filed for bankruptcy, their financial things, like portfolio basically, was open to the public, and it was shown that WWE actually owns like 22-23% of the XFL, which is not necessarily in line with what Vince was saying, that they were going to be like two separate entities, because he had another entertainment. Can't remember the name of it. He had another business that he started that was supposed to run that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's a little bit interesting.
Yeah. Vince lied. I'm surprised.
But that also could probably lead into what happened yesterday. Wednesday at the time of recording. WWE had a conference call and notified people like via text that they were being released from the company or being furloughed because of the corona. I do have a list. Do you have a list?
I have some more notable names, not a full list.
Okay. Just go ahead and stop me when you want to talk. I'm just going
to
go through.
Well, I just actually want to start off with Gallows and Anderson. I guess AJ Styles is turning face soon.
Well, I guess technically now, like, the Undertaker has officially sent them to hell.
Yeah, he'll probably return to save someone.
But I don't.
Styles Ali tag team. That'd be pretty cool.
Now, we can backtrack on a lot of them. Because there's certain guys that I hope, like, a lot of them I hope is just, they're just, you know, it's just like a furlough, and mm-hmm. when everything kind of gets back, they all get their jobs back. But there's a few of them that I feel like will definitely are like okay with this happening, kind of. So yeah, so you got the Good Brothers. Who else you got over there? So I got all of them. There are a few of them that I would like to get into.
No, you can just go down the list and I'll stop you.
So the first one that was name was Drake Maverick, which
that was an emotional speech he gave there.
Oh yeah, I didn't see the actual video, but I heard that. I didn't watch it because there's just too much like sad going around. Also, we have Curt Hawkins and Zack Ryder.
So I guess we're not getting an Edgeheads reunion in a future storyline. That's kind of disappointing.
Zack Ryder, like, I'm surprised about that one. EC3, who is, I'm sure, very happy.
Yeah.
We also had Leo Rush, Eric Young, Heath Slater.
Yeah, I guess we found out why Leo Rush wasn't in the interim Cruiserweight Championship.
What's we got?
But Heath Slater, though, he's got kids.
Well, right? Got kids. Aiden English, Kurt Angle.
Aiden English was a decent announcer. Kurt Angle was kind of surprising. I thought they'd keep him on for a little bit.
Yeah. But... we had Sarah Logan, Mike Chioda.
That one was one of the more disturbing ones to me because he's actually been with the company longer than The Undertaker has, to put it in perspective.
Yeah. Didn't he call... what was the first? Didn't he call the WrestleMania with he did the one with Austin Hogan. I'm trying to remember. Oh, because when did he start the company? It was in the 80s, right?
I don't remember exactly what it was. I just know he's been there longer than The Undertaker.
Oh, so it has to have been the 80s. But yeah, I couldn't. Mm-hmm. That was ridiculous. Eric Rowan and his spider is also.
That one was actually surprising because I thought Vince actually really liked Rowan. And they were like really protecting him too.
But so a lot of these are probably like they're just not like the main star guys that they can pull around back and forth because now they're doing fucking live shows. But I feel like he's one of those ones that will probably more than likely get brought back once all this kind of settles down. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Primo and Epico, who haven't been on TV in forever.
Yeah, that one's not surprising. I don't think they're going to have their jobs back or even want them back.
Mike and Maria Kanellis were both dropped.
Again, not surprising.
No Way Jose.
Was his conga line dropped too? Like, I mean, that had to be expensive as well.
I actually think there's a few people that down here that were either backstage or... performance centers, people that were released. I know one of them, who was it? No, not MJ Jenkins, although she was released. Deanna Perezzo. She was, I think she was a Conga line.
No, she was NXT.
Oh, okay.
She was actually wrestling a decent amount. Like, I think it kind of seemed like she was getting out of a decent push, even though she was losing, if that makes sense. Like, she was looking good in most of her matches.
Alexander Jackson, who, which I think he was just like he didn't have any like TV time. MJ Jenkins, Jerry Soto, that's nice, bro. Fit Finley, which,
yeah, that was surprising too. He's been working backstage for quite a while.
Yeah,
they've been treating him pretty decently.
We got Lance Storm too, which apparently he closed his wrestling school to go work with WWE, and he's only been there for like a couple months.
Oh, well.
Yeah, that sucks. Mike Rotunda, a.k.a. IRS, the father of the Fiend.
No, not Erwin R. Scheister.
Mm-hmm. And Shane Helms, a.k.a. Hurricane Helms.
But, like, there's no more superheroes?
I guess.
Not even Super Rosie.
Nope, John Cena disappeared, and now Hurricane Helms is gone.
Well, John Cena disappeared a while ago.
Yeah. Billy Kidman, who's apparently been working backstage since like 2006.
Oh yeah.
And then I think the most heartbreaking is one Rusev.
Mm-hmm.
Which I don't know.
We have witnessed the final Rusev Day.
Yeah, for now. Maybe it'll be known as like Machka Day or something later on down the line. I mean,
have the WWE copyrighted Machka? I mean, I'm pretty sure it actually just means crush in Bulgarian, so.
But they definitely have his name copywritten, so that's not happening. You can just say it differently.
Machka Day! His name is just crush in Bulgarian. That's okay.
Yeah.
I mean, used before, but whatever.
Yeah. Well, not in Bulgarian.
That's true, but it has been in Bulgaria.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and if there's a wrestler in Bulgaria named Crush, he'll be very upset about it.
No, just when they air old matches.
Oh, well, yeah, that's true. Anyway. So yeah, there's these, and then there are a handful of others of like backstage producers, kind of performance center people that received like a quick phone call or a text message.
Oh man.
Yeah.
Text message, hey, you're fired.
And this was like after like the conference call, I think they had it at noon. Shortly thereafter, they started making the rounds. Which is,
you mean Vince didn't personally go up to everyone and you're fired?
No, unfortunately. Honestly, it's a really looking into it, WWE has a cash reserve of like $500 million. Mm-hmm. And they're like profit.
Now more.
Their quarter profits. They only gained $4 million from this. Their quarter profits show that 10% of their profits pay for the talent, which is like nothing. So this is just, I'm assuming it has something to do with the XFL stuff, because 23% of WWE, you know, that money is gone. That was in the XFL. I don't know if that shit's fucked up. And it really sucks for those people. Hopefully they all get brought back. But who do you think is happy, and who do you think is going to go somewhere else after this, taking this opportunity?
EC3 would be right at the top of that list.
Yep.
Probably Leo Rush now.
I was almost gonna, I know the Good Brothers just signed another contract, but I would almost think that
if they wanted to jump back to New Japan, I think it'd be okay. I think Kanellis maybe might want to, but Maria's pregnant, so I don't know.
Yeah, that's true. I was just saying, because I'm pretty sure Gail Sanderson's like their wives like live in Japan, or I know they met them there, but something like that.
His hot Asian wife.
His hot Asian wife. I love his Twitter so much. So funny.
I want to make out with my hot Asian wife and beat up John Cena.
So, yeah, it's, I mean,
these past couple of days, PR wise, have been pretty shitty. And I don't feel bad for them. I feel bad for the wrestlers and the people who lost their jobs. Not, I don't want to get too political.
Yeah, it was kind of that Seth Rollins and Tommy Dream were like, no, 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 you can't judge him for making business decisions. It's like, well, yeah, we kind of can when you hoard wrestlers, you make them or you get them to sign contracts just to keep other people from getting them, and then just, oh, yeah, nah, we're not going to keep that.
Yep. Speaking of better pastures.
Oh, oddly enough, why didn't they release Lana? I thought she's just a mouthpiece for Bobby Lashley.
That's probably why. Bobby Lashley is so bad at talking.
But he could join Michael Bivens' Enterprises down in NXT. That would be a good fit.
I don't know much about that.
Oh, those are those two Indian lads, the Lumberjacks and Skirts.
Oh, okay.
That just run in and maul people. I mean, like, they could just have Bobby Lashley with them, like, back him up one day, and that is a stable. And then they have their own three-person stable title.
That'd be interesting.
Yeah, do it before AEW does.
Yeah. Which they have the TNT title, which we can talk about in a little bit, but speaking of AEW, they have announced that Double or Nothing will still be airing. I believe it's moved to May 23rd. It will no longer be at the MGM Grand, etc., out in Las Vegas for obvious reasons. I don't know where it's going to be, but it's going to be, we'll have another empty arena pay-per-view, which I think will be interesting.
Put all the wrestlers in the audience, give it that big pay-per-view feel.
Mm. Yeah, that big indie pay-per-view feel.
Mm-hmm.
I do enjoy it, though. I think them having like those random guys in the audience adds just a little bit more to it. Obviously, if it was like a crowd, that's ideal, but given what we have to work with.
That would be interesting. They figure out the exact number of like seats it would take to put people 6 feet away. Like, okay, so...
that still wouldn't work because you're not allowed to have... over 10 in one area. What you could do is somehow... When you have people be able to live stream and you just have like cameras set up everywhere, but all those cameras have the microphones hooked up. So when the people are cheering over the live stream, it's playing over the speakers. So you have the wrestlers that are in the inside. And then like everyone else who got the pay-per-view is like, when I'm like, yeah, like, you know, it's heard through that thing and shit.
I'd be okay with that.
That'd be like, it's like what they're, almost like what they're doing with graduations. You see the people with like iPads and everyone's just like streaming it at their graduation ceremony instead of actually having it because they can't. It's the same principle. TNT can easily buy like a bunch of random like tablets to hook them all up to. Just have them in different spots. People would pay, but you know, get that close ringside. Kind of the thing's just on a swivel, so it's always seeing everything.
Oh man, then you just look out and you just look out on the live pay-per-view and all you just see is a sea of faces.
That would be so fucking scary. Somebody hacks it and then it's just like Slenderman's everywhere. And
you know, that's not a bad idea, actually, the more we talk about it.
And minus the hacking thing. But yeah, I mean, if you can figure out how to feed it all in, that's a lot of noise coming. And if you have someone with like shit quality, it's just gonna be like coming out like that. Or that's the Slender Man.
Gotta get those fiber cables.
Them fiber cables. Do you have any more wrestling news?
I have no more wrestling news.
Actually, no, we do. We lost the Fink.
I didn't want to make any kind of association with that.
I know. Sad. It is sad, but it's we'll go ahead and go by it. It is unfortunate. I told you on Talking Shop, like Luke Gallows and Anderson's podcast, that they would have. I think it's Anderson does a Fink impression, and he introduces it every single time, and he's just like swearing at everyone the whole time. So fucking funny. Anyway, on to happy things. Like Dynamite. Not the blow explosive kind. The wrestling kind.
Explosive kind is pretty Explosive
kind's fun. Mm-hmm. I thought, like literally, you know when you see cartoons and it's like the red stick of dynamite with the wick attached to it? Mm-hmm. Never in my life have I seen that in real life. I swear that's only a cartoon TNT looks like that. Real TNT does not look like that.
Nah, you know, there's fuses for things.
But, like, if I'm going to blow up a train, I'm not going to have, like, TNT written on a bunch of sticks that's, like, tied together like on Bugs Bunny.
Why not? Then they know what it is.
Wouldn't that give it away?
Nah, it's fine.
Or do you want them to see it? You're
serious.
Okay. Yeah, well, that does give you that opportunity for that zoom-in shot where it, like, starts on the TNT and zooms into the train, and they're like, oh, no!
And you see one or two people jump off, and then boom.
Yeah, exactly. Or Superman comes, depending on what kind of show you want.
That's true.
Yeah.
Scenario's open to interpretation.
Anyway, wrestling. So, this week on Dynamite, well, I'm just going to go ahead and blow through this really quick. There were a lot of squash matches, a little bit of, like, progression with the TNT championship thing, and then we had a decently solid championship match at the end of the night, but we started out with a promo from Jake kind of talking up Colt Cabana, but then also talking down Colt Cabana, because Colt Cabana and not Coco Bana. But then that leads into our quarterfinal match, which between Lance Archer and Colt Cabana, which Lance Archer, we'll say, both of them look good, which is good because this is like Colt's kind of first match. No, he was in a couple other ones, but, like, he's still, you don't want to look, have him get destroyed like Lance has been doing to everybody, basically. So, both of them look pretty good in the match. Lance ends up taking the victory over them. We had a promo with Britt Baker before her match where, like...
Dr. Britt Baker.
Sorry, MD. I apologize. Or DMD. She's doing the whole... I'm so oblivious to how heel I am that I'm a good guy kind of shtick.
She's pretty good at it.
Trying to give her, like, giving people reasons why she didn't, why she lost last week and stuff like that. But then that segues into a big old squash match between her, Britt Baker, and Cassandra Golden, who I believe was at Fyter Fest during one of the matches a while back. Obviously Britt Baker picked up the victory, so she's definitely going to, they're trying to like, they're really starting to build up their women's, division, which is good. In between, I'm just going to throw these out here. There's some random call-ins for the Hager match or the Hager Moxley match at the end of the night with like Taz, Ron, comedian Ron Funches, Santana Ortiz, Excalibur, and there's some like Bellator guys basically giving their predictions and why they would win, which was interesting. And then we also had the
they're trying to steal our job.
Yeah, right. They also had the Bubbly Bunch, which was a parody of the Brady Bunch with the Inner Circle.
Yes,
if they have it on YouTube, just watch it. It's fantastic. It's so funny. They just run down the Elite the whole time, basically.
Yeah. Also, I believe they're offering free shipping on a little bit of the Bubbly. Well, they were recently. I'm not sure if they still are.
Oh, that's really good. I think we had it for, what was it, Royal Rumble, maybe?
Possibly.
It was, what, some, because you got
it. I don't remember, which means it worked.
Yes. I remember you got it for me for Christmas, but I don't remember what pay-per-view was around then. Good shit. And I don't like bubbly champagne really that much.
Bubbly.
A little bubbly. I hope the Bubbly Bunch continues to be a thing, because it was great. Also, Jericho once again was on commentary all night, except for the last match, which was seemed to be filmed somewhere else prior to it, but we'll get back to that.
I think Jericho like is just himself now.
Yeah.
He's always Jericho.
Pretty basically. We had another squash match between Sammy Guevara and Shug D, which I'm not 100% sure who that is, but yeah, it didn't go very long. And then afterwards, Sammy cut a promo on Darby, started beating up Shug again, and then Darby came out because they have a quarterfinals match next week.
Yes, they do. I'm excited for that
one. I'm super excited for that one.
Yep.
And then we had Kip Saban versus Chuck Taylor with a lot of interference with Penelope, as usual. Although I will say Orange Cassidy tried to get involved, and Jimmy Havoc came out of the crowd and started, like, pushed him down and, like, did the double arm DDT and left. So there's a sweet match right there. Jimmy Havoc and Orange Cassidy.
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
Right? That'd be so awesome. But yeah, there is a ref distraction. Penelope hits a Hurricanrana. Kip gets the victory over Truck.
That's it. It's just like Hurricanrana finished him.
Yeah. Well, it was pretty back and forth. But, then we also had the next match with Sean Spears versus Justin Law, who, if you guessed it, was another squash match.
It kind of sounds like it.
And then, yeah, at the end of the night, we had Jon Moxley versus Jake Hager. JR was on commentary. He was in a different arena, which was good. I like JR.
Extreme social distancing.
JR's good. Like, I think sometimes he needs someone to work off of, but, like, he has, like, really great moments in this. There's a lot of grappling submissions at first. Brawls out of the crowd, brawls back into the crowd. There's this cool spot where Moxley hits a paradigm shift and Hager, like, gets a reversal on it and puts him in a triangle chokehold, which I'm still trying to figure out how he's able to do it, because, like, he kind of held on to the paradigm and, like, turned over or something like that. But the match ends. There was a chair at one point. He's beaten on Moxley's ankle, puts him in an ankle lock. Moxley gets out, throws a chair at him, hits a paradigm shift onto the chair for the win.
Nice.
So pretty solid match. Pretty good, like, empty arena. I don't think they really utilized the no disqualifications as much as they could have, but it was pretty good.
I think chair finishers are the new top rope finishers.
Yeah.
Yeah, because back in the day, if you did something off the top rope in the 80s, like, that was it. It's over, man.
Yeah, that's true. If you get hit with...
Now, for some reason, it's like, oh, yeah, it's a finisher on a chair. Like, done. Even though it's like, I've seen him kick out of 5 F5s. Why does a DDT on a chair finish him?
Does that super... Oh, sorry. Does that supersede the table? It's chair B table?
Announced table, yes. One that you have to actually physically set up, no. Although, I don't know, table spots don't really end too many matches anymore.
No, they don't.
Except that Adam Cole one, where they did, or I don't remember what match that was anyway. He did a air raid crash to Ciampa with, like, on the table.
Speaking of Adam Cole, he actually is an example of how chairs don't necessarily end matches, because did he give that power bomb to the two chairs that were, like, set up properly? You know what I'm talking about? I can't remember what takeover it was.
Oh, that, like, Razor's Edge one or whatever?
No, it was, like, a straight power bomb, but it was, like, the chairs were set up, like, back to back. So he would just land essentially, like, on the top of both the backs of the chairs.
Oh, no, that was essentially, I don't know what they called it, but that was essentially, like, an FU on the back of it, I think.
Okay. That looked terrible.
Yeah. Yeah, because Aleister Black had him up on, like, the torture rack or whatever, and Cole started elbowing him in the face, so Black just, like, dropped him on the chairs.
Oh, God. Just, like, seeing into my head.
I'm pretty sure that's what it is anyway.
That was such a brutal spot. But yeah, that is AEW for this week. Boop, 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 boop. How was NXT?
Well, we had Tom Phillips and Byron Saxton on commentary this week, so I don't know if they're rotating announcers or...
That's interesting.
Mauro's got the night off, or they didn't like him going solo, but, you know...
Mamma mia!
Mamma mia for everything.
Mm-hmm.
To start off, we had Fabian Aichner versus Finn Balor. And of course, Marcel Barthel. I don't know why his name is so difficult for me to say. So yeah, I guess until Finn can travel over to Ireland, he's going to face the rest of the Imperium guys.
All right.
Yeah, I'm okay with that. So Marcel Barthel keeps on interfering a lot up until he gets a shotgun dropkick outside the ring into the barricade. And then it just kind of like follows by a shotgun dropkick to Fabian inside the ring. Coup de grace, 1916, 1-2-3.
You know, if you...
and then he just calls out Walter, staring down the camera.
If you take out dropkick in that sentence, Finn just murdered two people. Shotgun out to the ring, shotgun into this ring, and then coup de grace. Which is just like
the another shotgun.
Yeah. Sorry. Amazing. Type D&D on the mind.
So next up, we had a Charlotte Flair promo. She actually kind of put over the women's roster a little bit. She's like, I've won SmackDown titles, I've won Raw titles, now I'm down here to face the NXT best women, or like the best women as roster in the world. So it's like, oh, okay, that's kind of nice. I'm also pretty sure the one that beat Charlotte is going to be like forever made the new Golden Girl.
Yeah.
Hopefully, anyway. They don't just have her like beat her again next month. Anyway, she actually kind of offered Mia Yim a title opportunity. I'm pretty sure that was the first person that Charlotte ever faced in NXT.
Okay. 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 Yeah. That'd be a good match. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Anyway, next up we had Aaliyah versus Xia Li. Xia like inadvertently broke Aaliyah's nose during a match, and I guess like Aaliyah attacked her backstage afterwards.
Revenge time.
Mm-hmm. So this is kind of like the blow off from that. Aaliyah actually did some like really good heel work here, where like Xia kind of went after her, and she like hid behind the ref for a second, and then just like ran into the corner, and then booted her in the face. Because the ref had to break it. It was just like a really good dance around the ref. But of course, you know, that's not going to like end real well. Eventually, she gets a dropkick. And then that like tornado kick that Xia does to the back of people's heads while they're on the mat. It's brutal. I like it.
Surprised there's not more like ref spots. Not necessarily with the ref getting hurt. But like something like that hiding behind the ref. Like, you can easily turn that into, like, a springboard over the ref kind of thing, you know?
Yeah, or Velveteen Dream holding the ref's hand.
One, two, no!
Like, I can't kick out, but I can hold your hand up. Anyway.
Are your shoulders still down?
Yeah. Next up, we had Swerve versus Akira Tozawa. I believe this was one of those qualifier matches. The finish kind of came here with a exploder suplex into the corner and a top rope senton 1-2-3 from Akira Tozawa. It was, you know, good match. It could have been a little bit better, but, you know, it was fine. Nice qualifier.
Decent.
Mm-hmm. Poor Swerve, though. I think I've said this before, but he's been on a losing streak recently.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, he even hit the midnight hour, too, which is just, like, it looks like a phenomenal, just, like, a jump back kick to the head.
I feel like...
Or he jumps up and kicks you in the back of the head.
I feel like it might be dangerous to be named after a thing that the company tries to do all the time.
Nah, it's fine.
Swerve, he's not doing well. Sorry, continue.
Yes. Next up, we had a El Hijo de Fasmo promo. It was all right. It was there. Next up, we had Tegan Nox versus Raquel Gonzalez. And, you know, with Dakota Kai, who gets involved a lot. Eventually, the Shotzi Blackheart comes out to even the odds up and causes enough distraction to where Tegan Nox executes the most devastating move in all of wrestling.
Ooh, surprise roll-up.
Surprise roll-up.
Nice.
And, yeah, gets class. The win. Yeah, it's revealed later that we're going to get Tegan Nox and Shotzi Blackheart versus Dakota Kai and Raquel Gonzalez.
Ooh, that'd be a good match.
Uh-huh. Next up, we have the sensuous, buttery voice of Keith Lee.
Baby.
Yeah, he's talking about his past a lot, and he ends up bringing up a time when he got almost got kicked out for stealing the car to go, see Mick Foley.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. It was a nice promo. It was very peaceful. He was sitting by a lake for whatever reason. I guess, you know, he's Yeah. As by Lake.
And then he performed a few Barry White songs afterwards. Now, let's bring the evening down a bit.
That would have been terrific. I'd be okay with them going that route. Next up, we had Dexter Lumis versus the hilariously named Tahuti Miles.
Tahuti.
Sorry. Yeah, I think Dexter actually thought it was a boxing match for a little bit because there were a lot of punches up until the Spine Buster, followed by Uranagi, followed by the Anaconda Vice, and almost immediately tapping out.
Damn. That's why you don't pitter-patter with those jabs. Mm-hmm.
Well, he's also a very big lad, and he it's like Luke Harper, but they're giving him a chance. Just like, big guy, just stares off into the distance.
Oh, so they're just trying to replace the character that they wanted Luke Harper to be?
I think that Luke Harper wanted to be.
I thought he wanted to be like a well-spoken kind of monster.
Either that or a collector.
Yeah.
So he was just like, well, I'm just going to stare off into the distance at people now because my southern accent sucks and Vince knows it.
They got to give that collector to the Fiend. Mm-hmm. And just John Cena was a little doll. And then go after Ric Flair afterwards.
I really want a John Cena doll. Mm-hmm. Next up, we had a Adam Cole promo.
Adam Colmo.
I missed out on a few letters. He's basically saying that, you know, Velveteen Dream isn't worthy. In fact, nobody's worthy of facing him. And tonight, Bobby Fish and Roderick Strong are going to regain the tag team titles, and they're going to once again be draped in gold.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Can't take them from them broserweights.
Yeah, but then Dream thought it was going to be a face-to-face confrontation, so he kind of gets pissed off and walks out to the ring where he's got a podium set up, so I guess he didn't think it was going to be too recorded. So he's basically bathed in purple light, and he's got a psychedelic graphic going on in the back, and he kind of puts over Cole, and he's like, you know, you might be the best NXT champion we've ever had, but soon your dream is going to be over, which leads into a Finn Balor promo, because he appears from the back, and he's like, hey, I don't know you, I don't like you, and I haven't said one word to you till now, but I'm the best NXT champ, and if you ever get that wrong again... You've got a date with the prince. And then, Velveteen Dream's response is just great with, like, a date? Why don't you pick the Dream up next Wednesday? So, we got a match. Dream versus Finn.
That's going to be awesome.
I'm okay with this. Like, on free TV.
That is going to be so good.
On free quarantine TV. So yeah, following up with that, we've got a Michael Bivins promo, who's like, you know, basically putting over the tag team match later tonight. He's like, I'm going to say congratulations to whoever wins the tag team, but also good luck, because you're going to face Rinku and Serap next.
Rinku and Serap.
Yes. They're very large men. that seems to be their shtick so far.
I feel like anyone that has like one names usually are very large men.
Umaga, split in half, but just as tall. Yes. Next up, we just have an announcement that basically says we're getting the Gonzalez Kai versus Tegan Nox and Shotzi Blackheart. And then they announced the... start of the matches for the interim Cruiserweight Champion because, you know, the real one's sick.
Okay. The real one's sick.
No, wait, no. He can't come to the United States. The Irish Ace.
Yep.
But yes, we are getting Phantasmo versus Jack Gallagher. Kushida versus Tony Nese. And then Jake Atlas versus Drake Maverick, who... The commentators say has a lot to prove, which I was like, oh, that's...
Wow.
Cold. Main event time. We have Bobby Fish and Roderick Strong versus Matt Riddle and a mystery partner because Pete Dunne cannot fly in.
Is it Goldberg?
That would be awesome. I didn't think about that, but that would be awesome. Just... Bro hammers all around.
Bro hammers.
Oh, that sounds like a porn. Anyway, so Pete Dunne appears on the screen to announce the mystery tag team partner of Matt Riddle. And it's Timothy Thatcher, the longest reigning Evolve champ ever.
All right.
That's a good point to have. Yeah, that... I mean, this was here definitely to make Thatcher look really good, and I guess he's the interim partner. Also, randomly during the match, the Undisputed Era kind of spot Dexter Lumis just, like, watching from afar.
Bum, bum, bum.
It was really weird. Eventually, though, Timothy Thatcher locks in the Fujiwara armbar, and Roderick Strong taps, like, again, almost immediately. So, yeah, they made him look strong, and then afterwards, you know, they were kind of, like, doing an interview, and Matt Riddle's like, bruh, you deserve to hold the title. And he's like, you know, no, like, once Pete Dunne gets here, maybe we can talk about something, but I'm just filling in for him. So it was like, you know, kind of still showing Dunne respect. I like that. It was very classy. Next up, after the main event, for whatever reason, we had a Ciampa promo where he's basically like, I'm done with Johnny Gargano. I'm done with Candice. Johnny was the better man. And then the camera kind of gets knocked over and you hear like crashing in the background. You can't see what's going on, but you can hear it. And then we see a leather heel, which we assume is probably Scarlett Bordeaux at this point. And then Killer Cross just kind of appears and he just like looks into the camera and TikTok. But also, a shirt company has not released Killer Cross. They've released Karrion Kross shirts or gotten orders for Karrion Kross shirts. So I guess he's Karrion Kross, not Killer Kross.
So dumb. Copyrights ruin wrestlers' names.
This one's not too horrible.
Carrying?
Karrion.
Karrion. Okay.
I mean, it also, I think, means dead, decaying things. So, you know, take that for what okay. it is.
I guess that's metal.
But yes, we get the debut of Killer Kross.
There we go. You were right. You said you were talking about that last week.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, they didn't show us who was in the car, but someone was in the car.
Someone was in the car.
Yeah, they had to really slowly drive past the car. And then Ciampa gets attacked.
It was just like immediately, like, whoa. Does that thing happen the same night?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
But also, I'm kind of wondering if Johnny's getting called up to the main roster at some point, because, like, now we know where Ciampa's going, but Johnny won the match, so what's he going to do? Like, he thought this week would be a moment to shine, but...
You know, stick inside quarantine?
Probably.
All right, so yeah, that's the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
There's no movies that we can really review. We were just kind of, aside from wrestling,
trailers.
Yeah, we were just planning on
bad. Damn you, Andy Serkis, or fake made up account to look like Andy Serkis.
See, I'm telling you, and this is we'll say it now. What's going to happen is we're recording this on Thursday. It's going to come out on Friday because this episode will already be posted, so we can't talk about it. Which is why we should try recording on Sundays, so then the date is pushed back and we can get all the news of the week.
I am okay with that.
Because it seems like every time we do an episode, something more important comes out the next day.
That is correct.
And then I'm all about comedic timing, but fuck. Let's not. So, yeah, next week we will be, I guess it would be Monday. Next Monday will be our new episode. I don't know what the date is offhand, but...
They all blend together, really.
Yeah. We're still working on our D&D game,
mm-hmm.
which I'm sure everybody will love. I'm looking at the dry erase board right now, and I gotta say, I really like the quest that you got written down.
Yes.
And this is not us joking around. Like, I... Like Walmart? Costco?
Intelligence devourers, too.
I really do like that. Yeah, I actually, like, as I was reading that, I'm like, okay, I got some pretty sweet ideas for this part.
Okay.
I think it'll work. So, and then I also, it seemed like people liked the Super Fight episode. So we might try another board game. I picked up Munchkin, which is basically D&D just for idiots. Well, not idiots, but the card version of it.
All
D&D made very simple.
All the dungeon crawling, none of the math. Well, a little bit of the math, but not as much as not as much math as anticipated.
Yes, you don't need to keep track of food and weight.
Yeah, right, exactly. So,
and how long have I been awake for? 73 hours. Oh, that would explain why my
Wait, you mean I have to rest for 8 hours to get my spell back? What the fuck is this?
Annoying.
Yeah, let's just be a sorcerer. People are like, oh, wizards are so cool. Yeah, have fun preparing your spells all fucking day.
Hey, sometimes it's tough being a wizard.
There's a hot take for those D&D listeners.
It's tough being a wizard. You'd know that if you hadn't trimmed your beard.
I'm just getting the shape ready, my friend. See, my beard is so red that when it does grow, it will look like a phoenix is literally flying out of my face.
Nice.
Yeah. Especially with this white streak that's going on. Cause
then you'll look like Rogue.
Just the flip side.
Uh-huh. Growing a Rogue beard.
If I'm upside down, I'll look like Rogue.
Yep.
Perfect. All right.
Well, she can fly, so. Well, in everything good, she can fly. So
yeah, and everything. So not X-Men 1, 2, and 3.
Yes. She's so whiny.
I don't like, I mean, to be fair, they would have had to introduce a character they didn't own to give Rogue the proper powers. Unless they were just like, yeah, she can do this.
Yeah, they should have just started. But I guess, yeah, you probably would have had to see the villain. Just be like, she killed it, doesn't matter what she did, or something like that. Just keep on insinuating things.
What, with having Captain Marvel in there?
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. you couldn't, because they didn't own her.
Yeah, so you can still kind of just say, like, oh, galactic being.
So she's going to kill Brie Larson.
She's the...
oh, Rogue man. Is going to kill you.
That would be good.
Or take your power.
Well, do you think that would be a now thing? Like, if they did that...
You mean, like, now 65, or... I don't know what they're on now.
It's on, like, 90-something at this point. Oh, God. I know, it's disgusting. They come out with one... They come out with, like, I want to say 2 to 4 a year.
This was a very long, odd tangent.
It's not done. Because what I was going to say, the Captain Marvel, was it going to be... If they do the movie, would it be more of what happened... In between her getting her powers and Infinity War? Or Endgame? Or is it going to be after the fact? And if Rogue's in it, is Rogue going to have her powers beforehand or afterwards?
I assume it's going to be after the fact, because I think they want to make Monica Rambeau the new Captain Marvel.
And the real question is, are they going to Sam Raimi Captain Marvel 2? And regardless, and just like take Brie Larson's powers, like Spider-Man lost his powers...
Yeah, that was odd. We never got like a man-spider payoff for that.
I feel like there's another, refresh my memory, there's another superhero movie that does the same thing where the second one involves that person like either losing their powers or like giving up their powers. It's...
I mean, the Wolverine kind of does it. Deadpool kind of puts the collar on at the very end. I don't remember if it happens in Amazing Spider-Man 2.
Maybe is it the second Superman?
In Sam Raimi's Spider-Man, he gives up being Spider-Man.
That's what I was talking about with that. But I feel like was it the second Superman, like the Christopher Reeve Superman?
I do not know.
I thought that might. I remember the plots to them, but I can't remember the order. One of them has Richard Pryor in it, and I think he, like, spins around the world and reverses time. I'm pretty sure the second one is when Superman and Clark Kent, like, become two separate things. Maybe. I don't know. Now this tangent's gone on for a little bit. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. The podcast. We're starting next week. We will be... airing Mondays for all of the news of the week officially, because the week will actually be over when we're recording it. Mm-hmm.
But you can still follow us at House Pod 1.
Yes.
House of Pod 1. I slurred a little there.
House of Pod 1. That is correct.
House of Pod 1.
House of Pod 1. Oh, God. We ran out of water like maybe 6 weeks ago. It's not looking good for us, guys. Please send help.
We are not okay.
Bad. I think 2 weeks in a row you said we've hunted frozen pizzas out of extinction.
Yes.
It's because we're delusional. Because we haven't seen from the outside lack of frozen world. Pizza. From lack of frozen pizza and water. So anyway, that's the podcast for today. Thanks for listening. Join us next Monday as we play Munchkin or D&D. Or talk about more movies being canceled. Mm-hmm. The never-ending release date. The never-ending pushback release date of New Mutants.
Yes.
Sorry, Basham, they're doing it because you want to watch it.
Probably.
I know. That's what happens. You get excited about something, the company's like, nah, we're going to push this back several years.
Yep. Three so far.
Yeah.
Three.
Hopefully it's not Disney. Just Disney Plus. Or just send us a copy.
Yeah.
Just us. I'd
gladly review it.
We'll review it.
From Fox, we might not like it.
Yeah, it could be bad.
It could be good, though.
But where is this? I mean...
It's Fox's one really, really good movie right before they got bought out.
Maybe that's why they want to put it in theaters.
Yeah, they're like, oh, this is actually pretty good.
Yeah, they're like, okay, this isn't bad. We can actually make money off of this. What's that, Dark Phoenix? Get the fuck out of here. Like, I feel like if all of this happened when Dark Phoenix was supposed to come out, they would have been like, yeah, X-Men on Disney Plus.
Yeah.
Get the fuck.
Exactly.
Yes. So, do you have anything else for our listeners? Any words of wisdom? Quotes from Lord of the Rings.
No, for all the movie theater owners out there, when you reopen, you should offer a movie hopper pass where they get to see 5 movies in 1 day for the price of 3. Mainly because a lot of people wouldn't do that. Imagine a Tarantino movie at number 1 and then you have to go through 4 more movies. That'd be rough.
You definitely have to like figure out a scheduling for that. Mm-hmm. Like, it has to, you'd have to peek at the middle, right?
Probably.
And then just have
like end.
Nothing, maybe a think piece at the end. Nothing, but not a slow burn.
Yeah, no.
Like a slow burn. If you're doing a slow burn, that would be like number 1.
Or number 4.
I think it's
just you get the payoff right at the end and you're like, okay, let's put on an action movie.
No.
Fast and the Furious 23.
What it should be is, so just using all of these movies as examples, okay? You start with Lincoln, all right?
Ooh.
Nice, long, good acting, nice think piece, you know, some solid stuff, okay? Then, and this is like, these are just movies that off the top of my head, all right? Then you have to go like something that is a little bit, maybe like a comedy. Like the other guys, like it's funny, but it still has some of that kind of action. Then number 3, you got to have like your end games, your two towers, you know, your piece de resistance. Cause then you're going to be so
3-hour long action.
Yes. Cause you'll be so just like, oh man, like just like worn out from afterwards that you have to have number 4 as like a horror movie to jolt you out of that tiredness before the last one.
Which could be Deadpool.
Yeah, I think the last one should probably be something that, like, that you're just like the one you're most looking forward to, obviously, you know?
That's why you put Lincoln at number 4. You don't want to open with 3 hours of acting.
Well, that was just, I don't mean Lincoln as in that movie in general, but I mean like that style of, that type of movie where it's not, it's more dialogue based and like a lot, not necessarily a
Tarantino film.
Well, yeah, but even that has a lot of like, I mean, look at like Once Upon a Time, even like Once Upon a Time in Hollywood was like
3 hours of people driving around and just having a normal day, and then the last 15 minutes involved like flamethrowers and like acid trips and murder and shit like that.
Ah, Tuesdays.
Tuesdays. But yeah, you definitely have to break that up. I would be down for that. If they're like, oh, remember all those movies that we said you guys can watch at home? Well, guess what? They're back in theaters. Because that's probably what happened. No. At that point, I don't think they'd, like, bring Bloodshot back.
No, I could see maybe some of them that did really well, like, now you can see it on the big screen. And maybe put it in the side theater or something.
Yeah, like Trolls World Tour.
Take acid and go see Trolls. Don't do that. But that's not a recommendation.
I will say, like, the at-home stuff for kids' movies, hell yes. I have been at movie theaters where, like, when we saw Detective Pikachu.
Oh yeah, that was kind of weird.
We were the only adults.
We looked like we drove a panel van.
we were the only adults without kids in there, but like, oh man, some kids in movie theaters are just the worst, and they never stop talking. And then like the commentary that comes after the laughing is what's worse.
Because it's that was me. No.
Well, yeah, I guess that's true. But yeah, pop that shit on at home. It's all good. But like, I wouldn't want to see Endgame at my house on my 40-inch. I'd want to see it on as big a screen as I can.
Mm-hmm. That snap really echoes.
Yeah, right. I think our rant is over.
Probably.
All right. So yes, House of Pod 1, Instagram, Twitter. If you have suggestions for us to do, if you would like to send us toilet paper, we're all ears.
Mm-hmm. Or nacho cheese.
Ooh, nacho cheese would be good. So for House of Pod, I'm Mike.
I'm Bash.
Good night.